بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Yesterday we finished the work مقاصد الصوم of سلطان العلماء عز الدين ابن عبد السلام رحمه الله تعالى. And we still have a number of days before we come to the end of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to reach the end with a fast that is accepted and prayers that are accepted and a means of closeness to Him. And so inshallah, we decided that in these last few days we would read from another text, dividing up this one chapter into the remaining days that we have. And we'll be reading inshallah from this work, one of the classics of Islam, one of the classical works in the Ummah, one of the best works, the work named Ihya Ulum al-Din, or The Revival of the Religious Sciences, by Imam Hujjatul Islam, Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. And there's a lot of ink that has been spilled discussing the content and virtues of this work, Ihya Ulum al-Din, and a lot of service has been done for this work, such as the takhrij or the hadith citations done by Al-Hafidh Zainuddin Al-Iraqi, as well as the commentary by Imam Murtada Al-Zabidi rahimahullah ta'ala in 20 volumes. So we're going to read from the second volume in the second chapter, which concerns Asrar As-Sawm wa Shurutihi Al-Batina. So in the second volume of the Ihya, Imam al-Ghazali talks about the inner aspects of prayer, fasting, zakat, and hajj. In the beginning of each of those chapters, he talks about the outer aspects of each pillar of Islam. He talks about the pillars of fasting, the actual fiqh of fasting. And then in the second section, he talks about the asrar of fasting. Now, the asrar means secrets or mysteries. And people hear these words and they wonder, where are the mysteries coming from? Why do we have secrets? And that's not what he means. What he means by asrar, he means the spiritual dimensions of fasting. Because when you look at fiqh, Islamic law, there is the outer aspect of Islamic law that determines if this particular action is sound or unsound. A faqih will teach you the pillars of wudu, how to make wudu, how to pray, in the outward movements and the statements. They'll teach you the things that are disliked, the things that will invalidate your prayer, and so on. But that faqih can only teach you the outward aspect of prayer. They cannot determine whether or not your prayer is complete internally and whether you were focused in your prayer. They can only determine from the outward whether you fulfilled the conditions of prayer. And the same thing goes for fasting. We have the fiqh of fasting, and we covered the fiqh of fasting before Ramadan in our Fard Ain class, alhamdulillah. And we covered some of the outward aspects of fasting in the work Maqasid As-Sawm. But there are inward aspects of fasting that we should be paying attention to as well. And the words of Imam al-Ghazali have been used and distilled and summarized and used by many, many people after him when they want to talk about the inner aspects of fasting. And most of you are familiar with the basic breakdown. So we'll read, inshallah, this 10 pages, this chapter, and we'll finish it between now and Friday or Saturday, inshallah. So I'll read just the first section. He says, الفصل الثاني في أسرار الصوم وشروطه الباطنة, concerning the secrets of fasting and its inner conditions. Again, by أسرار, he means the الأبعاد الروحية, the spiritual dimensions. He says, اعلم أن الصوم أن لصومي ثلاث درجات صوم العموم وصوم الخصوص وصوم خصوص الخصوص. You should know that there's 3 degrees of fasting. Number one, the fasting of the generality, the ordinary Muslim. The fasting of the elect. And then, number three, the fasting of the elect of the elect. خاصةُ الخاصة. He says, أَمَّا صَوْمُ الْعُمُومِ فَهُوَ كَفُّ الْبَطْنِ وَالْفَرْجِ عَنْ قَضَاءِ الشَّهْوَةِ كَمَا سَبَقَ تَفْصِيلُهُ. As far as the fasting of the generality is concerned, it is to withhold from intaking anything into the stomach, or withholding the private parts from fulfilling desires, as has been detailed in the previous chapter. So everything we've covered about fiqh of fasting is basically the fasting of the generality. Whatever is needed outwardly to ensure that it is valid and not broken. He says, أَمَّا صَوْمُ الْخُصُوصِ, as far as the fasting of the elect is concerned, فَهُوَ كَفُّ السَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْيَدِ وَالرِّجِلِ وَسَائِرِ الْجَوَارِحِ عَنِ الْآثَامِ. The fasting of the elect is fasting also, withholding with the ears, or the hearing, the sight, the tongue, the hand, the foot, and the rest of the limbs, withholding from sin. So you're fasting from haram, just as you fast from food and drink. This is the fasting of the elect. He says, وَأَمَّا صَوْمُ خُصُوصِ الْخُصُوصِ. What about the fasting of the elect of the elect? He says, فَصَوْمُ الْقَلْبِ عَنِ الْهِمَمِ الدَّنِيَّةِ وَالْأَفْكَارِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ وَكَفُّهُ عَمَّا سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. He says, it is fasting, the fasting of the heart, from lowly concerns and worldly thoughts, and withholding the heart, or abstaining of the heart from everything other than Allah, exalted and sublime. This is a very high maqam. Basically, it's fasting from everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning away from everything, even the halal. He says, وَيَحْصُلُ الْفِطْرُ فِي هَذَا الصَّوْمِ بِالْفِكْرِ فِي مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَبِالْفِكْرِ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا دُنْيَا تُرَادُ لِلْدِّينِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ زَادِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَيْسَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He says that this type of fast, the fasting of the elect, from everything other than Allah, is broken by thinking about other than Allah Azza wa Jal and the last day, and by thinking about the world, except if the person is thinking about the world for the purpose of establishing something in the deen. And illa dunya turadu lid-deen, except dunya that is used or sought for fulfilling something in deen. For that is the increase or the provision for the hereafter. And that is not really from the dunya. In other words, if you are using the dunya for your deen, it's not really dunya in that sense, because it is your means to establishing deen. So it's not really dunya. Dunya for dunya's sake is dunya. Dunya for the sake of akhirah is not really dunya in the blameworthy sense. He says, حَتَّى قَالَ أَرْبَابُ الْقُلُوبِ مَنْ تَحَرَّكَتْ هِمَّتُهُ بِالتَّصَرُّفِ فِي نَهَارِهِ لِتَدْبِيرِ مَا يُفْطِرُ عَلَيْهِ كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْهِ خَطِئًا. He says, and he's quoting here from Imam Abu Talib al-Makki's Qut al-Qulub, some of the people of who speak about matters of the heart say, whoever's aspiration turns towards working and doing things in their day to plan for what they're going to break their fast with has a khati'a, or an error, written on their account. Because he says, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ قِلَّةِ الْوُثُوقِ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَقِلَّةِ الْيَقِينِ بِرِزْقِهِ الْمَوْعُودِ. Because this is a lack of reliance in the bounty of Allah, and a lack of certainty in His promised provision. Now, I mean, you hear this and you think, that means that I can never attain that degree of fasting, because if I think about what I'm going to break my fast with, I look for the food and I'm preparing it, or I think, oh, I'm missing these ingredients, I have to go to the grocery store and get them. Or according to Imam Ghazali, this high, high level of fasting would be broken by that kind of thought. But the bar is so high, right? And this is why the ulama say, the hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin, the good deeds of the ordinary pious person are like the sins for those who are extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's a higher standard, that their concern is being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not preoccupying themselves with thinking about these things, because they just go with the flow, as they say. So there's no real hukum attached to that, meaning no one's sinful for doing those things, but is speaking about the high degree of people of that stature. He says, وَهَذِهِ رُطْبَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ والصديقين والمقربين ولا نطول النظر في تفصيل ذلك قولا ولكن في تحقيقه عملا فإنه إقبال بكنه الهمة على الله عز وجل وانصراف عن غير الله سبحانه وتلبس بمعنى قوله عز وجل قل الله ثم ذرهم في خوضهم يلعبون. He says, this degree is for the prophets and the voracious, and those drawn near. And we will not spend a long time going into the details about this in words. We will look at realizing it in action, because it is, in essence, turning oneself wholeheartedly and completely in their aspiration to Allah Azza wa Jal, and turning away completely from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and adopting the meaning contained in the words of Allah Ta'ala, قُلِ اللَّهِ, say Allah, and then leave them in their idle play. So this is how he describes the three levels of fasting. He focuses mostly on the second type, because the third type is way beyond most of us. So what matters is to look at the second type, which is attainable. Fasting not just from food and drink, but also fasting with the other limbs of the body. And so inshallah tomorrow we will read his description of how one fasts with the eyes, the ears, the hands, the tongue, and the feet inshallah ta'ala. And we'll look at them one by one and what they entail, so that inshallah we may fast with from food and drink, but we don't miss a share of fasting from our other organs as well. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.